Good morning.
Good morning.
We are studying under construction this month of September. And the under construction theme is about how God is working on us, that our lives are under construction. And he is the chief architect, the chief builder, and he is helping us. And we need to listen to him. You'll notice on the graphic that's up there, there's no drivers in that truck. There's no driver in that forklift. Do you know why? Because it's not people who are building us. It is the Holy Spirit of God. We are under his leadership and his guidance, and we need to listen to him, and we need to obey him. The 2 months prior to this month, we were studying David, great king, a man after God's own heart, a man that God chose him. We studied lessons about how he was chosen, how he defeated a giant, how he led his people and got close to God. We even studied one lesson that reminded us that David was not perfect, but he was close to God, and he cared about God and God's message. His son was Solomon, and God chose Solomon to be the next king over Israel. He wasn't the king's oldest son, because you know that's how they did things back then. Whenever a king died, who became the next king? Exactly, the oldest son of the existing king, or the pre-existing king, became the next. Well, God wanted Solomon, the fourth son, to be the king. God chose him. We had lessons about how he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and an illustration of that. But by the end of Solomon's life, he was not a good king anymore. He became really hard on the people, hard to be around. Seemed like as he got older, he griped a lot. Now, I don't mean to step on any toes here today. And he became difficult. And we're going to study then today. We're going to finish up Solomon. And then we're going to talk about his son, Rehoboam, who wants to be the next king. But before we get into the lesson, there's two things that we're going to talk about today, and I want to go ahead and open those up. The first one is we're going to talk about getting advice from other people. And I want to make sure we understand what we're talking about. What is advice? If somebody is getting advice from another person, what are they getting? Okay, wisdom, instruction.
Information,
good.
Counsel.
What's that, a couch?
Counsel.
Oh, counsel, okay, good. No, you're exactly right. I'm sorry, I didn't hear just perfectly well. No, I hope I'm okay. Yeah, see, those answers are all perfect. None of us are perfect. We don't know everything. Even great kings, even wise people like Solomon, and we were told Solomon's the wisest man that ever lived. But you noticed in today's story, Solomon had wise men who were advisors to him. Even the wisest among us need help. And so it's okay if we need others to help us. And that's exactly what advice is. It's other people with experience telling us how they've handled things and maybe how they succeeded or maybe how they failed. Who do we go to when we need help or when we need advice? Who do we go to?
Parents.
Parents? What's that? Everybody, if you speak up, speak really loudly for me, please.
Pastors,
good answer.
Spouses.
The Word of God, exactly. Great answers. We go to a lot of places. God has given us many people in our lives to help us and to give us advice. Parents, grandparents, other family members. He's given us coaches, teachers, faith leaders to help us. Now, if something is really important, like say if you know you're about to face a life-changing decision, who do you go to for that advice? Okay, God, good answer. I do have to say this. In children's church, when the hands go up, the first answer is always Jesus or God. And so it's okay to give the holy answers, but it's also okay to give, you know, the more true answers. Where else do we go for? Okay, mom or dad? Yeah, like when they said, I had the first doctor say, Dan, you need to have your knee cut out and a new one put in. And I thought that sounded really drastic. So you know what I did? I went to another doctor. I got a second opinion. And the second doctor I talked to had done these surgeries for over 20 years, and that's all he does is knee replacements. And this guy, so I started doing the math, and I was like, this guy's done thousands, okay? He's an expert. He's been here before. It's my first time. Usually when we want advice, we want to go to someone who's an expert, someone who's done this before, someone who has succeeded. And the last thing I want to talk about this before we move on is God has given us friends, and friends are a blessing from God. But when we have really important decisions in life, should we talk to friends, to people who like have the same life experience as us, people who are in the same part of life as us? What do you think? Okay. Probably not. God has given us people in our lives who have more wisdom, who have more experience, and they are a gift to us. The second thing we're going to talk about today, and then we'll move on to the story, is how does God speak to us? We said that God speaks to us and we need to listen to him. Well, how does God speak to us? Okay, sometimes through the Holy Spirit, sometimes through his word, the Bible. How else? Okay, through prayer, exactly. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. God speaks to us through his people. God speaks to us through circumstances. I've got a few stories of times where I know I heard God saying something loud and clear in my life because of something that happened. So today we're going to talk about the people that God has given us to give us advice and how we need to listen to them and how God speaks to us through those people. And I need some help telling today's story. I don't know if you noticed while I was the beginning here, but I've got some volunteers. Five of our fathers and five of our kids from the clubhouse are going to help me tell today's story about Solomon and Rehoboam and what God did. But before we do that, let me introduce them to you. So guys, I was going to ask if you would just come up real briefly, make a line on stage so that everybody can see who they're dealing with today. First of all, let me bring up Solomon. The king. Now, Solomon at this time, you can tell, oh, Solomon, be careful. He is very old. He's very old. Hey, actually, Prince Rehoboam, his son, why don't you help your poor old dad up on stage? I feel sorry for him in his advanced age. Okay, that's the prince and the king. We also have a good man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam's been a faithful worker. And make sure you stop before the first step. And there's a prophet in the land. The prophet's name is Ahijah. So there's Jeroboam, the faithful worker. And there's Ahijah, the prophet. And then King Solomon has three old advisors. Old advisors, if you're physically able, could you make your way up on stage? Oh, good. They've got their books that prove they're smart, and they've got glasses because, you know, smart people wear glasses. And then we've got the young advisors. These are men that grew up with Prince Rehoboam, and they're going to now be his young advisors. So young advisors, could you come on up? And so before we begin, can we show our appreciation to these brave individuals? Okay. We're going to ask the entire crew to go back over here off stage right with Amy, except Jeroboam. Jeroboam, the story begins about you, so if you could stay right there at center stage. And I'll remind everybody how we do this. I'm going to read it straight out of the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12, and we're going to ask our actors and actresses not to add or not to take away, but just to do exactly what the word says. And if it says to say something, we're going to ask you to say something. Now, there is a time where it's way too long for somebody to memorize and say, so at those times, I'll just say it and ask you guys just to act like you're talking. Exactly. Do what Aaliyah's doing right now. And otherwise, just do what the Bible says you did or say what the Bible says you did. And I'm hoping that we laugh a little bit, but then I think we also learn a lot when we see God's word alive and active. So let's go ahead and get started. Jeroboam, this is in 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse 27. Jeroboam was a man of standing. That's why she's standing. Anyway, I thought that was funny, a man of standing. And when Solomon saw how well the young man did his work, he put him in charge of the whole labor force of the tribes of Joseph. About that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and he was met by Ahijah the prophet. He met him on his way wearing his new cloak. Actually, Ahijah, can you go back? You forgot your new cloak. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we didn't work out all the details in dress rehearsal. There we go. Okay. And Ahijah the prophet of Shiloh met him on the way wearing his new cloak. The two of them were alone out in the country, and Ahijah took hold of his new cloak that he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. New math. And he said to Jeroboam, as he gave him 10 of the 12 pieces. Now, this is going to be too long, my brother, so I'll just read it, but you act like you're talking, okay? Take these 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom of Solomon's hand and give you 10 of the tribes. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. I will do this because they have forsaken me, and they have begun to worship Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Molech, the god of the Ammonites, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor have they kept the decrees and the laws as David had. However, as for you, I will take you, and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands, as David my servant did, then I will be with you. I will build you into a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David, and I will give all Israel to you. After he had said this, Ahijah left. And when King Solomon heard what had taken place, he tried to kill Jeroboam. He tried to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam fled. Jeroboam fled.
I don't know what that means.
That means run away. Here, I'll help you down. I'll help you down the steps. But Jeroboam fled. Jeroboam kept fleeing all the way to Egypt. All the way to Egypt. Then Solomon died. In all, he reigned over Israel for 42 years. At that time, Rehoboam, the prince, came before all the people. Now, while he's coming before, I forgot to tell everybody, we all have a part in today's skit. We are the people of Israel, okay? So when it says the people of Israel did something or said something, we're going to ask you to do or say something, okay? All right, would you come, prince, before all the people? And he went before them to make himself the king. Then when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard that the king had died, he returned from Egypt and joined his people. They sent for him, and he and the whole of... Oh, no, you're down here with join the people. Thank you. And he and the whole assembly of Israel went before Rehoboam, and they said to him... Now, this is the people who say to the new king, your father hath put a heavy yoke on us. But now lighten the harsh labor. And the heavy yoke he put on us. And we will serve you. Rehoboam answered the people, go away for 3 days. And then come back to me.
And then come back to me.
So the people went away. We're going to ignore this part of the script. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his life.
Oh,
Yeah, the old advisors that served Solomon. Yep. And he asked them, how would you advise me to answer the people? Together they said to him, if today you will be a servant
to these people
and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. But this advice angered the king. I'll turn around so they can see you. This advice angered the king. And he rejected what they said. So they left. Send them away. Tell them to go away.
Go away!
He then consulted the young advisors. These were young men his age who had grown up with him and who now were in service to him. Also, he asked his young advisors, what is your advice? They replied to him, and guys, this is really long, so just pretend you're talking, okay? My little finger is thicker than your father's waist, you should tell them. My father laid a heavy yoke on you, and I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions. So his advisors departed. Oh, you guys take off. Go back to where you were. Oh yeah, you guys leave. Okay. All right. And 3 days later, Rehoboam stood before the people and Jeroboam. The king answered the people harshly. He rejected the advice that was given to him by the elders. And he followed the advice that was given to him by the young men. And he told the people, my father made your yoke heavy.
My father made your yoke heavy.
I will make it heavier.
I will make it heavier.
My father scourged you with whips.
My father scourged you with what?
Whips. But I will scourge you with scorpions.
Scourge you with scorpions.
Good job. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord to fulfill the word of the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam through Ahijah the prophet. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they then answered the king, what share do we have in David?
What part in Jesse's son?
To your tents, Israel. That was really good. Look after your own house, David. So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, Rehoboam became their king. But Jeroboam ruled over the other 10 tribes of Israel. All right, can we give our actors and actresses a really big round of applause? And you guys can go back. And living and dead actors and actresses, you can go back and give Amy the costumes you have. While they're doing that, I've got a couple questions. I want to make sure we understand what God is teaching us here in 1 Kings 11 and 12. I'll let you pass first, my brothers. Okay, when Rehoboam becomes king, he was asked a question by the people. Who remembers? What was that question he was asked?
Lighten the load.
What's that?
Lighten the load.
Yeah. Yeah, your dad was horrible on us. He was a terrible king. Are you going to be easier on us than he was? And this is a tough question. He knows that this first day of his kingdom is going to decide the success or failure of the rest of his kingdom. So he's wise. He says, give me some time to think about it. So he does wisely, and he calls in many counselors, which also in the book of Proverbs we're told is a wise thing to do. What advice is given to him by the old men, the old counselors?
Chill.
What'd you say?
Chill.
Chill, lighten the load. What is this?
Be good to the people.
Yeah, be good. Be good to the people. If you are will lighten, not be like your father, but be more like your grandfather, then they will serve you forever. He then asked the young men like himself, his friends, what was the advice they gave him? Yeah, you thought my dad was tough? You ain't seen nothing yet. And whose advice does he follow? All right, and the result of that affects the rest of his life. I've got 3 points we're going to talk about here today, and then we're going to have small group time, and then we'll have a memory verse. But the first point that we've got to talk about is that God gives us old people in our lives to help and to encourage us through this life, and it is wise to listen to them. I like to always define things before we move on. Who in the room is an old person? Would you raise your hand, please, if you're an old person? Okay, kids, I want you to look around. Keep your hands up. Be loud. Be proud. Kids, look around. These are the people God has put into your life to help you, to guide you, to lead you. It's not an accident that there's so many old people. You have parents, grandparents, people at schools, people at churches, people on your teams that are here to help you. We have learned a lot through success and a lot through failure, haven't we, old people? And do we love these kids? Do we want them to make the same mistakes that we made? No. Kids, these are people who have learned from life's two great professors, Professor Success and Professor Failure. And we've learned a lot, and we want to pass that on, and we love you. Now, before I go any farther, I'm going to give a charge to our old people, people who said, you're going to be there for these kids. Be ready. Be ready. You will not have a plethora of opportunities to share. You won't have kids running up to you on the daily asking, please help me. It may happen once. It may happen twice in your life, and it may be your Esther moment, where for such a time as this, you have been prepared. Be God-led and Spirit-filled. Make sure the advice you give is not what you would say, but what God would say. Just like the advisors in the story, they didn't have an agenda. They weren't trying to prove a point. They were just saying what they thought would help the king succeed in his life. Don't shy away from the opportunity, but run to it and do the best that you can. So number one, God gives us old people. They're here to help us and to encourage us through this life. Second thing I think the story teaches us is that God often speaks to us through others. Many times when God wants to give you a message, he will use other godly people. In today's story, who was speaking for God in the story? Actually, there were two, a group and an individual. Who was speaking for God? Okay, yeah, did somebody say advisors? Yeah, Solomon's advisors were speaking for God. There was somebody before that. Well, yeah, Ahijah, the prophet, spoke to Jeroboam. What was the message he had? God wants you to be king. I've met the prince. It's almost like God is saying, I've met the prince. I don't want him running my people. I've met you. You've been faithful in everything. You've been promoted, and now I want you to be the king. Reminds me a lot of somebody else in the Bible. Can you think of who else was chosen out of the crowd to be the king of God's people? Yeah, it was David. Just two generations before, Rehoboam's grandfather, Solomon's father, was chosen as a little shepherd boy because of the quality of his heart. And kids, God speaks to us through others, through parents, through grandparents, through pastors, through family members, youth leaders, sponsors, so many. And it may be foolish to only trust your own wisdom and the wisdom of people like you. Make sure you trust those that God has given to you to speak to you. Two great tools in your toolkit. We're talking about being under construction. And the first is the old people. And the first are your Christian brothers and sisters. Okay, a couple more questions, then we'll wrap it up. Who did God want to be the next king? He didn't want the prince's son. Who did he want? Loud and proud. Jeroboam. Why? Why? Yeah. Yeah, he was faithful in much. Everything he had done faithfully. He knew he would treat God's people well. Why not Rehoboam? Why should the prince not be the next king?
Selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was not like Grandpa David, such a good man. He was more like his father, selfish, worried about what he could get for it, worried about how others need to respect him and give him what he is due. The third point I think that we need to discuss is God blesses those who serve him and love his children. Remember, David was given this promise. He says, hey, David, I love you so much that someone will always sit on the throne in Jerusalem. So that's why he says you can still have the one tribe, the tribe that controls the city of Jerusalem, because of how much I loved David. And he says, I love David. I love you so much that when my son is born, I want him to have your DNA in his body. He will be, remember, Jesus was of the line and of the house of David. And God says, that's what I want to do for you, David. And if you will follow me, and if your family will follow me, and if they will do what I tell them to do, then they will rule in Jerusalem forever. It took exactly two generations for that family to fall apart. Rehoboam has a choice. He can be like David, or he can be like Solomon. He can serve God and put others first, or he can serve himself and put himself first. Kids, I want to tell you something that will help you for the rest of your life. If you will put God first in your life, and if you will be loving and kind to his children, you will prosper. There's nothing else that we could teach you, any technique for success or technique to be great in this world that's better than this. If you will love God and love his children, you cannot fail. But if you're going to serve yourself and love yourself most of all, you cannot succeed no matter what you do. Sermons are a good chance for us to evaluate ourselves. I always thought of a sermon as a mirror. It's a time for us to evaluate ourselves, to look at ourselves and see, where do we measure up? Where do we fall short? Or where are we encouraged because we are just as the Bible says? I think it's time for us to think, where do I need to hear God's voice? Where do I need to hear him speaking through others? Where do I need to seek his counsel from the old people in our lives? And where do I need to be serving him and loving his children? As we dig into that deeper, Brother Matthew's going to come up at this time, and he's going to lead us in a small group time. Now, Matthew suffers from crippling stage fright. So could we all give him a big Seymour Christian Church welcome?
Well, just like every week, we go into our small groups. Now, sometimes that looks like a small group is our large group because we have such a small number back there for that week. Other times we do split up and we are able to then split into smaller groups and have this conversation, really unpacked what we have just learned. And so we're going to do that right now. Now, we are a very large group. And so we're going to turn to the nearest 5-6 or so people. And we're going to work through questions that are up on the screen. I'm going to read them once, and then I'm going to give you guys about 5 minutes to just talk with your neighbors, get to know your neighbors, work through what you have just heard. You know, we're talking about advice. We're talking about the wisdom from older people. Maybe there are some kids that are around you. What are some advice that you would give them as they continue to try and follow God and learn what he has for them? So I'm going to go through these questions real quick, and then you guys will have about 5 minutes just to have a conversation about what you have learned and how you can give advice to those around you. So those questions are, tell about a time you needed advice. I think stories are a great way for an opportunity for us to learn. And so to share that story with the people around you when you needed advice. And who did you ask for help? Have you ever helped someone in need with your advice? Has anyone ever come to you and then you gave them advice and they listened? How did it go? What did you tell them? How has God spoken to you in your life? Were there any decisions where God gave you the path? He gave you the answer through his word, through prayer, through his people to follow and obey. And did you do it? And then give an example of a time you've seen God bless someone who has served him and loved his children. And who is God's children? I just want to clarify that. Who's God's children? All of us, right? And so it's not just those that are still trying to learn how to walk or need their diapers changed or learn their ABCs. It's all of us. We're all God's children, whether we're 100 years old or one, okay? And so give an example of a time that you've seen God bless someone who has served him and loved his children. So I'm going to give you guys just a few minutes here to converse with each other, get to know the people around you, and walk through these questions.